trick was to leave enough of the pith in to give the flavour bite, but not so much that it turned into a smoothie. She needed to give it another shot. Issy ran her hands over her cloudy black hair. It went well with her green eyes, but created absolutely bloody havoc if it rained.
So, when you describe what you're making, you must describe life. Do you see? It's not just recipes. Next thing you'll tell me, you're measuring in metric.
Issy bit her lip and made a mental note to hide her metric skills the next time Grandpa visited the flat. He'd only get himself worked up.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, Gramps. They both turned to look out of the window of the assisted living facility in North London. Issy had installed Joe there when it became clear he was getting too absent-minded to live on his own. Issy had hated moving him down south, after he'd spent his life in the north, but she needed him close enough to visit. Joe had grumbled, of course, but he was going to grumble anyway, moving out of his home to anywhere that wouldn't let him rise at 5 a.m. and start pounding bread dough. So he might as well be grumpy close by, where she could keep an eye on him. After all, it wasn't as if anyone else was around to do it. And the three bakeries, with their proud, shiny brass handles and old signs proclaiming them to be electric bakers, were gone now, fallen prey to the supermarkets and chains that favoured cheap white pulp over hand-crafted but slightly more expensive loaves. As he so often did, Grandpa Joe watched the January raindrops fall across the window and read her mind.
Have you heard from your mother recently?
He said. Issy nodded, noting as ever how hard he found it to say his own daughter's name. Marion had never felt at home as a baker's daughter, and Issy's grandmother had died so young she hadn't had long enough to provide a steadying influence. With Gramps working all the time, Marion had rebelled before she could even spell the word, hanging out with older boys and bad crowds from her teens, getting pregnant early to a travelling man who had given Issy her black hair and strong eyebrows and absolutely nothing else. Too much of a questing spirit to be tied down, Marion had often left her only child behind while she went off in search of herself. Issy had spent most of her childhood in the bakery, watching Gramps as he manfully beat the dough, or delicately shaped the lightest, most mouth-melting filigree cakes and pies. Although he trained bakers for each of his shops, he still liked to get his own hands white with flour, one of the reasons Randalls were once the most popular bakers in Manchester. Issy had spent countless hours doing her homework under the great Cable Street ovens, absorbing through her pores the time and skill and care of a great baker. Much more conventional than her mother, she adored her Gramps, and felt safe and cosy in the kitchens, even though she knew, of course, that she was different from her classmates, who went home to little houses with mums and dads who worked for the council, and dogs and siblings, and ate potato waffles with ketchup in front of neighbours, and didn't wake up before the sun, the smell of warm bread already rising from far below. Now, at 31, Issy had just about forgiven her troubled, untethered mother, even though she, of all people, should have known what it was like growing up without your mum. She didn't care about the sports days and school outings. Everyone knew her grandfather, who never missed one, and she was popular enough, rarely without a cast-off box of scones or French cakes to bring to school occasions, while her birthday party spreads were the stuff of local legend. She did wish someone in her life had cared a little more for fashion. Her grandfather bought her 2 cotton and 1 woolen dress every Christmas, regardless of age, style, or size, even when everyone else she knew was in leg warmers and pineapple T-shirts. And her mother would swoop back at regular intervals with strange hippie-style garments that she was selling at festivals, made of hemp or itchy llama wool or something else equally impractical. But Issy never felt short of love in the cosy flat above the bakery.